title this message, Who Do You Belong To? Who do you belong to? Whose property are you? Whose property? I'm writing down the title. First Corinthians. Look at First Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Pretty high price. You are bought with a price. Therefore, I mean, taking this into consideration and coming to an understanding of what, of who you are and who you belong to. You're not your own. Taking this into consideration, he says, therefore, based on what I just said, glorify God in your body, and in your spirit. That's what's inside this body, what this body houses. That's you, really. That's you. Which are God's. Seventh chapter. Verse 23. He says it again. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. You know, the Lord says some pretty tough things sometimes, don't he? Paul said this in another place. He said, if I be the servant of men, I no longer please God. You can't serve both of them. Our Lord said this, you can't serve mammon and God. You can't, and that word is this old material world. You cannot serve this old material world and serve God at the same time. Old Amos got onto the folks back in his day, said, you halt between two opinions. You got to figure out whether you're going to walk with God or walk apart from God. Old Moses said this in Deuteronomy 32:9, he said, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob, and that's us, that's his people, that's his elect. Jacob is just a figurative term. And was a type, a typical picture of God's elect. He said, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. That's us. The Lord owns us. I mean, he owns his people if you're a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, you might not want to get in on this. You're making a mistake. You're making a mistake. You know, I practice being up front with folks, sinners, unconverted people, because that's what my Lord teaches me. He was up front with people. Those that would follow him, you remember those that would follow him one again, he said, count the cost. Count the cost. And there's a cost to this old flesh. But the cost to this flesh is worth the eternal riches that you swap off. But God owns his people three ways. He owns us. He owns us, first of all, by creation. He owns us by redemption. He owns us by regeneration. And we could add a fourth. He owns us by adoption. Well, I'm going to deal with those three. I'm going to go backwards with them.
I'm going to start off with the, I want to begin with the last and work through the first. First, the Lord God owns His people by regeneration. That's the way you come into a relationship with the Lord, by being born again, by being born from above. You come into relationship with the Lord. Regeneration of the new birth brings sinners into an acquaintance with the Lord. We don't know Him until we're made alive. That's what regeneration is all about. We don't know God. You may know some things about God, but you don't know the Lord until you're made alive. And a profession of faith don't make you alive. Joining the church doesn't make you alive. It's the work of God. Regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So regeneration, or the new birth, brings the sinner into an acquaintance with the Lord as a member of His family. He says in the Scripture, John chapter 1, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That word power there is it takes on the idea of right. Right. Gives them the right. The authority. The right to become sons of God. A man born into the family of God by the Spirit of God, he has a right then to be called a child of God. Until you're born again, you don't have a right to be called a child of God. Oh, you're His by creation. All men are His by creation. But there's more to it than that. He says, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. And He goes on, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. And so, God owns us by regeneration if we're His. We have His Spirit in us. We have the Spirit of sonship, whereby we can call Him Father, Father, Abba, Father, or Father, Father. That's the baby's prattle. That's what that speaks of over there. Two places, Romans chapter 8, Galatians chapter 4, I believe it is. Abba, Father. I never did know Him as such until He regenerated me. I didn't know Him as such. I didn't have that close acquaintance with Him until He regenerated me. Here's some traits of God's children. I'm going to give you some traits and some characteristics of God's children. Those that are bought with a price. Those who God owns, body and spirit, body and soul. I'll give you a few traits. First of all, they love God. That's characteristic. They love God. I couldn't love Him till He regenerated me. Couldn't love Him. I didn't say I didn't love Him. I'm saying I could not love Him. I didn't have a nature to love Him until He regenerated. Neither did you. But they love God. They love God the Father who chose them. They come to see this. You know, you learn this, don't you? We were talking about that bread a while ago, and the doctrine flows out of Christ. You come to know Christ. You come to embrace the Lord. You fall in love with Him. And then you begin to learn some things. And you learn. I learned election after I came to know Christ. And I learned that the Father chose me, Brother Charles. It wasn't that a blessing when you learned that the Father chose you? I mean, that you were in His thoughts before the world began? Wasn't that wonderful? Wasn't that a blessed thing when God enlightened your mind, Randy, on that? God chose you. So they love God the Father who chose them. They love
the Son. The Son, they love Him who redeemed them. You know, the Father chose me, the Son redeemed me. That's the whole purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, was to redeem sinners. And I'm a sinner, and He redeemed me. I come to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that wonderful? He did that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I didn't come to save the righteous, but to save sinners. Righteous don't need salvation. He's talking about self-righteous over there.
The self-righteous. And I love the Holy Ghost.
I love the Holy Spirit who sanctified me. I really do. Let's go get it. 1 Thessalonians, I think it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I just come to my mind here. No, I'm sorry, that's 2 Thessalonians. Let's try 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. He said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now watch this. Through sanctification of the Spirit. I mean, it was the Spirit that came to us in our lost estate. He came to us, Brother Tommy. And the Spirit of God irresistibly, effectually set us apart and revealed the redeeming love of the Son of God in our heart. He did that. That's what made us love Him.
Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they love Him. They love Him. John says this in 1 John 4:19. He said, we love Him because He first loved us. But not only do they love God, that's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they also love one another. That's the characteristic of a believer. A child of God loves children of God. Loves brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why we get along here together. We have a common denominator. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ has one common denominator. Christ. Christ brings them together. Christ binds them together. Christ keeps them together. Christ. They love one another. A new commandment, Jesus said, I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's what He writes on the heart, the regenerated heart, the new heart of every child of God. He writes that new commandment on the heart. And I don't care how many of those old commandments, that old Decalogue over there, that law that Moses brought down from Sinai, I don't care how many of those laws He writes on the heart of stone, the unregenerated heart, it can never produce 1 ounce of love. Can't do it. That you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says this. He says, but if touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For you yourselves are taught of God to love one another.
No use me writing and admonishing you, Paul says, to love one another, because God taught you that. God taught that to us when He regenerated us, gave us a new heart.
That's how we learn. John also said this in verse 14 of chapter 4 of his first letter. He said, We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother, he don't know God. He said he abideth in death. He's not alive. He's not alive, Tommy. A believer loves the brethren. A believer loves to be with his brethren. Right? It's like family relationship. You love to be with your family, don't you? Love to be with your family. Love to, you know, used to have a lot of reunions back in my young days. I mean, we had big family reunions. And it was something that you looked forward to. We had one annual Worthen family reunion back in the days when the old Lithia Springs Park was in operation. Y'all remember that? You remember that when the Lithia Springs had that big park down there? Anybody remember that? You don't you, Lynn? You do that because, yeah, well, I can remember that like it was yesterday. And, well, we had Worthens come from everywhere. I mean, they come from everywhere. We had a bunch of them over in Cady County, over in Noonan. A bunch of them still over there scattered around. And they'd come over here, that crowd over there. Big families. I'm talking about big families. My granddaddy, he had 12 kids altogether. One of them died, two of them died very young. Raised 10 of them. And then we had two families over there in Noonan. And his sister, Desser, we're talking about her Aunt Desser. Sweet, one of the sweetest old ladies you could have ever known. And her husband, they had, I believe they said they had 11 or 12, wasn't it? And then they just branched out, you know. Made a bunch of folks. And we would meet down at Lithia Springs once a year. This year we'd meet at Lithia Springs. Next year we'd go over to the park they used to have over at the Noonan Waterworks. I don't know where you know where that is now. Have you been there? Nice park over there. We'd go over there the next year. We'd just swap back and forth. And I mean, folks just look forward to that. Just look forward to it from year to year. Have a big dinner, you know, and kids would play. And just see your cousins you hadn't seen all year. And just love family. Love the family. Well, God's family loves one another. Don't you believe that? They're like-minded people. They love one another. Yeah, we're so busy nowadays, don't have time for those family reunions anymore, do we? Everybody's so busy. Missing out on one of the best things in life.
Well, a believer loves to be with his brethren. He loves where they assemble. I believe that. Another thing, they love God, they love one another, they love the Word of the Lord. They love God's Word. That's one of the characteristics about true believers. They love the Word of God. That's what you folks come here for. You come here because you're going to get some Word when you come here, right? You know that. There's nothing attracting you here but the Word of God. You have an appetite for the Word, don't you? You look from Sunday to Sunday, you look for the Word, don't you? That's just the way God's people are. They love the Word of God. They're going to go where they can hear the Word. You see, the Word is God. God is the Word. The Word is God. He says in the Psalms that He honors His Word above all that He is. Did you ever read that? He honors His Word above all that He is. And God's people love His Word. Look at Psalm 119. You know, we just got through going through the Psalm 119 right recently. Remember that? And in verse 97, He said, "Oh, how love I thy law." That's the Word. Somebody's law word. "It is my meditation all the day." And a believer, you can't hardly... If you stay in the Word, you listen to the Word, and you meditate in the Word of God, you won't go through the day without thinking about the Word and how the Word applies to this and applies to that and what it means. So is that right? You'll think about it. First thing I do in the morning after I get up, and I get me a cup of coffee and I go out on that screen porch. I don't know about you, but I have to have that coffee. And it's got to be coffee. I mean, you may be able to get along without it, and that's all right. And don't tell me it's sinful. Huh? I mean, you wouldn't want to be around me if I didn't have a cup of coffee. First thing in the morning. About 6:30 or so, I get me. She hears me getting out of bed, and bless her heart, she's a sweet daughter. She'll cut that coffee pot on. She's already had hers. She gets up ahead of me. She already had her cup. She'll cut that coffee cup on. Stick that cup of mine up in the microwave. I can hear that thing going, you know. Getting it hot. That I might be able to pour my coffee in and keep it hot for a while. And then I go out and sit on the porch. And I sit there and meditate for a while. Pray. I pray for you. Pray for you as you go out in this old world. And talk to the Lord about you. Meditate a while. And then a little while I reach over and get my Bible. It's right there next to where I sit on that porch. My reading Bible. I got a Bible just specially for reading out of. And I'll start reading. And I'll read. I read at least 4 chapters before I do anything else. And as I read, I meditate. I think about what I'm reading. I don't know. It'd be difficult to go through a day without that. I love it. I love His Word. That's what David's talking about. Oh, how love I thy... Let me substitute you. How love I thy Word. Thy Word. It is my meditation all the day. Over here in verse 113, he says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law, thy word, do I love. Verse 126, look at this. Verse 126, he said, it is time for thee, Lord, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts, that's his word, concerning all things, not just pick and choose, but all things to be right. And he says, I hate every false way. And the word of God will reveal the false way. It brings to light the false way. And then he said in verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The word of God. Pastor, how does a person manifest whether or not he or she truly loves the Word? Well, one of the ways is they hear it. I'm not talking about with these old gristles. Everybody can hear with these gristles, can't they? They can hear me when I preach, they can hear me when I read the Word, they can hear me when I quote Scripture, but I'm talking about the ears of the soul, hears the Word of God. That's one of the distinguishing things. Jesus said it. He said, he that is of God heareth God's words. Huh? He says, ye therefore hear them not because ye are not of God. That's why he knew those old Jews were not the children of Abraham. Were not true disciples of him. He said, you don't hear the word. I preach it to you and you reject it. You despise it. That shows that you don't know God. And that you don't love God. Man says, oh, I love the Lord, but I can't buy that, Brother Terry. That's something I read or teach out of the Word of God. I love the Lord, but, oh, I can't go with that. You don't do it. If it's Bible, you don't love God. If you reject it, do you? Can't do it.
No, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Over in Ezekiel chapter 36, I'm not going to turn there, but you have that passage over there that deals with God giving you a new heart, taking away the old stony heart out of you and giving you a new heart. That's the new birth he's talking about over there. And when he transplants the heart, gives you a new heart, he brings a pliable heart. He says a heart of flesh, which is a pliable heart. It's a tender heart that receives the word of God. Well, you see, a man's never had a heart transplant spiritually if he or she rejects the word of God. They still got that old stony heart. It will not penetrate. The word won't penetrate. They repel the word. They reject the word of God. But the child of God has a pliable heart. It has a heart of flesh. It's tender, and it's sensitive, and it's pliable. You preach the word to them, and they receive it. Now that's so. That's so. They're teachable. They're teachable. That's right. I don't care how orthodox the man is in his religion. If he's an unregenerate, he hates God's word. And sooner or later, it'll manifest itself. It may take a while. It may take a while. He may receive this, receive that. That's the reason I encourage folks to join the church here. You know, sometimes they'll have these folks tell you to come in and spasmodic, you know. They won't just off the bat come on in. I say, oh, wait a little bit. You need to come a while. And I've had them come, boy, a long time. And find out, you know, they seem to show some indication that they're pliable, and you go ahead and let them in, and lo and behold, after a while, they hit something. I don't like that. I'm not going to buy that. And there you go. Isn't that the way it is? No, a child of God, he loves the Word, receives the Word, hears the Word. Then the Lord God, he owns his people, not only by regeneration, but he owns his people by redemption. Peter said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, that is your vain conduct in the past. He's talking about, you know, back in the old days of the old covenant, there was the temple coin, you know, that was required. That's what he's referring to here. They had to bring a certain amount of silver, temple coin, and to be redeemed, or to redeem certain things. But he said that's not the way you were redeemed, received by tradition from your fathers. He said, but with the precious blood, priceless. Immeasurable. The precious blood of Christ is of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the world was, but was manifest in these last times. That's how we're redeemed. Redeemed by the blood. Paul mentions this in Acts 20:28, about being bought with the blood of God. Purchased with the blood of God. The church. Our text is in reference to this very thing when he says, and ye are bought with a price. A text that we started out with, 1 Corinthians 6:20. You're bought with a price. We were. Listen, just like old Hosea went down to the slave market, his old Gomer, the old harlot wife, adulterous wife. He found out she wasted her life out there adulterating, had all those illegitimate children. And he kept trying to woo her back. He'd take her flax, he'd take her milk, he'd take her butter, and he'd take her honey. Put it on her doorsteps, and she's, oh, look what my lovers brought me. Her lovers didn't bring her a thing. All they did was use her.
It was old Hosea that was bringing those things down there and setting them on her doorstep. She wasted her life. Chris, she did. She just like sinners, like us sinners. We waste our life. Somebody told old Hosea, said, you know where Gomer is? She's down at the slave market. And they're going to auction her off today. And he went down there. He went down to the slave market. And the bidding started. Somebody bid 5 pieces of silver. Somebody else bid 10 pieces of silver. He kept driving the bid up. He'd count. Went to 15 pieces, wasn't it? 15 pieces of silver. Is that it? Anybody remember that? I get those two confused. Judas sold our Lord out for how many pieces? 30 pieces. All right, Hosea bought Gomer for 15 pieces. And he bid 15 pieces of silver. That's redemption money. That's the price of redemption. And all the bidding ceased. Going once, going twice, sold to that man for 15 pieces of silver. There she is. She's stripped. Her old emaciated, used up body. There she is, standing on that slave block. He just pulls his coat off, walks up there to her, and takes his coat and puts it around her, and says, Gomer, you're mine. You're mine. I bought you. I paid for you. I bought you for myself and not another. You're going home with me, darling. He took that old used up woman home with him, and never to roam anymore. Hey, that's a picture. That's a picture of you and I. That's what the Lord did with us. He bought us. He bought us with a price. He clothed us with his righteousness. He took us to himself. He bought us for himself and not for another. And we belong to him.
And that's what our text is saying over here. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Nobody could outbid our Lord. When he offered his blood, who's going to outbid that? That's life. Didn't stop there, didn't he? He had the ransom price. Then the Lord God Almighty owns us also by creation. He owns all men. He owns all angels. He owns the beast. He owns the fowls. He owns the fish of the sea. He owns the devil. Anything that's created, he owns it. Belongs to him. The earth is the Lord, the scripture says, and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Nothing belongs to itself in reality. It all belongs to the Lord. It said in Psalm 50, verse 10 through 11, for every beast of the forest is mine. He says, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the things. Every time I go by Jones' cattle farm down here, I don't ever cease to think about this text here. I'll ride down through there and see all those cows sprinkled out across those hills there. You do that? Over here at Jones' cattle farm. Old Randy Carden, he thinks he owns all those cows. He leases that Jones farm over there. He's one of the biggest cattlemen in this part of the country. I guess one of the largest east of the Mississippi River. He sells a lot of beef. Did you know that? Man, they take it. He's got cattle trucks, those big cattle trucks, and they'll go over and load it. You see those things sometimes coming out of there early in the morning, heading west. Buying Georgia beef, taking it out west, and then the markets out there keep it a little while and send it back over here and say it's western beef. That's right. Western beef. Oh, we're trying to fool somebody. For every beast of the forest is mine, cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowl of the mountains, he says, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. They're mine. But not only do the creatures belong to him by creative right, materialism belongs to him. Everything belongs to the Lord. Silver, he says that in his word. Haggai 2:8, he says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The oil's his. Yeah, it's his. And the trees are his and the water's his. Every other thing that you and I depend on is God's. It belongs to, we breathe his air. Did you know that? Don't ever say, "Lord, this is mine. I own this and I own that. This is mine." Nothing's ours. Absolutely nothing is ours. This just don't loan for a while. You don't believe me? Die. Die. You gonna take it with you? Huh? No, sir, you won't do it. You're going to leave it right here for somebody else to use for a while. All right, now. We got all that straight now. Just a minute or two. Yeah, well, maybe more than that. I'm going to give us the acid test. You believe all I said up to here? You that say that you're saved, you will agree that from what I've said,
that God owns you in a threefold way. You'll agree with that? I hope you do, because everything I've said is scripture. I haven't said nothing. It's opinionated. Everything I've said. He owns you by regeneration. He owns you by redemption. He owns you by creation. You can't get no more on than that.
All right, you agree with that? Now, if he owns us, he owns all that you have. Right? Okay, now, stay with me.
We sang that song the other night. What is that song again? I want you to quote that.
And I thought when we got to take my silver and my gold, it no longer
belongs to me. I thought, how's that verse stayed in the Baptist hymnal so long? Huh? Yeah, that's the third verse. Let's sing the first, second, fourth stanza.
That's right, that's what it is. yeah. So whatever you have, you will agree that it is God. It is God that gave it to you, right? He gave you a house. He gave you a car. Two cars. Three cars. Two cars and a truck. And a tractor.
And a four-wheeler. Huh?
Amen.
Yeah, and a golf cart. Bicycle. Two horses. Got all kinds of transportation going. Where'd it come from? Huh? God gave it, didn't he?
He gave you your bank account. You got a bank account?
I got a little one. I found a $250 mistake in it. It's got me untight right now. I don't know where it went. Usually I just work over that a little bit and I just write it off, say, well, it'll show up maybe next time if I made a mistake.
Gave you your job, right?
I know it did, because sometimes when you're looking for something, you know, you
about to leave one place, want to go somewhere else, you say, I need prayer. I need a job.
You prayed that one time, didn't you? We were praying for you one time, Lynn, about a job.
We prayed for others about a job. Need a job.
You wouldn't have got one if, Jessica, we've been praying for you about it. You finally got one, didn't you? The Lord gave it to you. If you didn't believe that, you wouldn't ask us to pray about it, would you? We see, we're shut up to the Lord for everything. Isn't that right?
Job.
Your children. These, oh my, my. What a gift are children.
God gave them to you.
All the way down to your cat and dog. Huh? God gave them to you. Will you lack it enough?
So whatever you have, you will agree that it is God that gave it to you or gave you strength to get it, right? You agree with that? Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." Did you hear that? That's scripture. He said, let me read it to you again. "But thou shalt remember," Moses said to the children of Israel, "thou shalt remember. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee strength to get, or the power to get wealth." Now, I personally consider everything I have to be on loan from God. I really do. I've tried to keep that in my mind all the way through. Whatever I have, I consider it to be on loan from God. I didn't have one thing when I came into this world. I didn't even have a stitch of clothes. You might have been born with clothes on, but I wasn't. Didn't have nothing. And when I die, I'm not going to take nothing out of this world. Nothing. So I consider everything I have to be on loan from God. My wife, she's lonely, that woman over there, as a companion. What a blessing. My children, they've been on loan. My grandchildren, they're loans from the Lord. I don't own them. My car, my house, the house up there, I don't even own a house anymore. As long as y'all. Right. Everything. Everything's on loan from the Lord. How are we to respond to this? How are we to respond to such a marvelous benevolence, divine benevolence? God being so good to us. Well, the scripture tells us we're to respond to it as good stewards. As good stewards. I've always tried to be a good steward of what God has entrusted me with. As a pastor of this church, I've always tried to lead you in being good stewards with what God blesses us with. We've never wasted anything that I know of in this little old church. We don't have it to waste. And if we had it, we wouldn't waste it. I don't think I would allow you to waste it. Usually we don't do anything until it's just absolutely necessary. And that's scriptural. The Lord said this in Luke 12:42. He says, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" He said, "Blessed is that steward whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." That is, being very diligent and very wise in dispersing what the Lord has entrusted him with. You know, it was one glorious day when I learned by the Holy Ghost, by His teaching, that God owns me lock, stock, and barrel. He sold out to buy me. He sold out to buy you. I mean, the gift was the Son of God. An enormous price. Infinitely so. And to learn that, what a blessing it was. And I learned, listen, I learned by the Spirit's conviction that I was a steward of God and that God had entrusted me with His property. Do you know why God gives you children? What a miraculous thing. How God in His providence worked to put that little boy in y'all's home to give him to you. You know why? Why He gives us children? He gives us children to be raised up to know that they are in this world for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to glorify God. Raise them up, teaching them that they're in this world for one sole purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God. Are you listening to me? But how are you going to do that if you're not convinced of it yourself? They're not given to us to dote over, to admire, and to boast about. No, sir, not at all. If I fail, if you fail to bring them up for the sole purpose of glorifying God, we missed it. Listen to me, fathers. Don't strive to make your sons good athletes. That's what they're tugging at you for out here in this old world today. They want to get them involved in this, that, and the other, you know. And they want you to glory over it. My boys play a little baseball coming up. And for recreation purposes. I never did allow them to let that interfere with God. With our service of God, responsibilities and obligations we have with the Lord. Y'all know that. You know that. Never did allow them to do that. Talk to the coaches. I say, look, you want my boys play ball? They're not going to play on Wednesday night, and they're definitely not going to play on Sunday night. I said, now if the game goes past 7:30, 8 o'clock, we'll try to get them there after prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I never had any problem with a coach. I was up front with it. I never did have one that bucked me on that thing. Matter of fact, they all cooperated. And the boys got to play ball. But that wasn't first priority. See? You put first things first. Mothers, don't encourage your girls to be glamour stars. Huh? Don't get them into a competition with Hollywood's fashions. God didn't give you those girls, and God didn't give you those boys for those things. You listening to me? I told you it's going to be the acid test. Teach them that they have one purpose. And that's to seek the Lord till they find Him and glorify His name. Teach them that. It's hard teaching. Especially in this day, it's hard teaching, but you teach them that. David said in Psalm 127:3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. That's it. God gives them to you. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's it. And this is as much the Word of God as unconditional election. Total depravity. Particular redemption. Irresistible grace. This is much the Word of God as the 5 points of Calvary. And I know I've had some folks in the past that left here because they'd rather hear Calvinism than hear what I'm saying now. And when we stand before God, we may be examined as to how well we comply to this, rather than how well we argue the 5 points of Calvinism. Now I try my best. Here's something else. Here's something else now. Somebody says, I try my best, you know. I try my best. Well, that's good. Sometimes you do. You just do your best and it don't all work out. So, stay with it. Here's one other thing. How well are we stewarding the properties of God? That's your children. What about you? What about your income? You know, there's some churches, I wouldn't do that. That's legalism. There's some Reformed Baptist churches, I understand, they, you belong to them. You have to sign a contract with them when you come in, agreement. If they have right to check your checkbook out. Well, I don't need to do that. God's checking your checkbook. You say, well, I try my best to tithe. Well, listen to me. You know, the Southern Baptist taught me to tithe. But the Holy Ghost taught me to give. He taught me to give. And how blessed is it to give? Your giving will be in proportion to your appreciation to God giving. Did you know that? Well, man, it's got awful quiet in here. Huh? It's got real quiet. But you're listening, aren't you? You know, you listen to this stuff today. I listen to it. I listen to these pundits on the business section, segment of Fox News. You know, on Saturday morning, they got about 4 hours of it. Talk about stock market. What's the best investment? What's safe? What's not safe? Go through all that stuff. I sit there and watch it. And then you have these investment people sometimes. You ever had one of them come to your house and talk to you about a good investment, if you'll invest in this, you know, and they tell you, well, you don't know how much it's going to cost in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now to live. Especially if you retire, you know, you don't know how much the cost of living is going to be out there. So you need to be laying back this, laying back that, and getting into. They came to me 20-something years ago, Randy, with all those investment plans, you know, annuity things. And that fella told me back then, Brid told you too, told us back then, if we start putting so much money in that thing a month, by the time he said you're 65, 70 year old, he said, why, you'll have $250,000, maybe have $500,000. I put about as much in there as what's in there now. It goes up and down, up and down, up and down. Huh? It goes down more than it goes up. Not resting in that stuff and trusting in that stuff. Matter of fact, I'm not even planning to retire. Don't expect to. If I do, you know what I'm going to retire on? What I started out with. God. God.
David said this. He said, I've been young, now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You believe that? I live on those promises. You know, all I had was that house up there, paid for, and I sold it to you. Y'all got a good deal on that thing. I doubt I could go out and build me one down anywhere around where they got it right up there. I stuck that money back, you know, said, well, something happens, you know, maybe I can build me a little house for me and Patsy to live out her days in. But if I can't, I'm not going to worry about it. If I lose it all, I'm not going to worry about it. God's going to take care of it. He's the giver. He's the sustainer, folks. I'm telling you.
Amen. You know, I don't have nothing much to fall back on in old age but God. Fall back on God. That's a pretty good place to fall. I would that this message strike in our hearts with conviction. This church would experience a transformation. We might break out in a revival if you just believe what I'm saying here. It all belongs to the Lord. I didn't plan this. I didn't plan this message tonight. But I couldn't get into David, his life, and so the Lord led me here. And you know, I've just sort of been disturbed here lately. Ann came in a couple of weeks ago and she said, Brother Terry, said, we don't have enough money to pay the bills. Said, I'm having to hold up checks. This week I got a past due bill in the mail. I brought it to you this morning. We don't want that stuff. I mean, do what you can. Do what you can. And everything will work out all right. I believe that, don't you? It always has. But don't get lax and slack. Whatever you have, God gave it to you. Don't be like those people that James wrote about in his epistle over there. You pray and you ask and you have, not because you ask amiss that you might consume it on your own lust. Don't do that. I mean, be liberal. Be generous. God has been liberal. God has been generous. Let's respond to the Lord in liberality. We got a mission here. We got a ministry here. We got missionaries to support. I mean, if you have anything, and we may have to start cutting down. It may get tougher out here. I don't know. And we'll start right here with this pastor if it does. You start right here, we'll start cutting corners and cutting back and doing everything we can. But we'll have to do it together to keep the gospel going out. That's what we're here for. Nothing else. Nothing else. That's what we... Saw this stuff, Brother Shaw said, maybe we better forget them bathrooms. I said, no, we're going to do that work ourselves. That's going to cut out 2/3 of the cost. And we'll figure a way to get those things up, get them done, and fix them nice. Where it won't cost us all that much. But you're going to have to help. You're going to have to help. We don't need... I like old Roe and Elvis. I like their answering message when you call down there. Y'all, any of you ever call down there and get that answering machine? Huh? Yeah. This is the butlers. This is the butlers. See, if you call and said in something, said, don't call. What does it say, Roe? We have more than we need already. We could put that on every one of our answering machines, huh?